Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm here with Rebecca, and by the time our audience is listening to this, it will be 2026, Rebecca, the brand new year. So happy new year to everyone listening.
2026.
So we decided we were going to do a part two to our asking God questions to start off in the new year. So if you missed the episode that was released on December 30th, it talks about kind of approaching the new year, asking God to give you a word for the year and what does he think about you. But we had an extension of that. There's a couple other questions that we usually ask in that spiritual retreat time that touches on unforgiveness, resolving unforgiveness and bitterness, and how the enemy and the accuser can really have a heyday with attacking us in those areas. So we thought we'd create a part two to address some more questions that you could ask God, especially after Christmas. Sometimes Christmas can be hard for some of our listeners, you know, being with family. It can trigger things. And so just want to make sure that we're not picking up offense and preventing us from being able to have relationship with family. So Rebecca, you want to jump into these additional questions we can ask God?
Yes. So, you know, we get a huge visual on the field when we, you know, there's offenses that happen. You know, we work in villages where if they have somebody that's offended them or hurt them or harmed them or their family members, they turn around and they curse them. And they don't just curse them with their mouth. They physically go to a voodoo priest and pay some money. And then the voodoo priest does a little ritual and literally curses them pretty powerfully in the demonic realm to harm them. And I thought that was symbolic because, you know, those are things that they're doing on a physical level with their unforgiveness and their bitterness towards somebody. And on the state side here, you know, at home, when people get offended, you know, we have two choices. We can choose to run to Jesus and allow him to heal our hearts and not take on that offense, which is very difficult with some of the offenses that happen to us or to our family members. And so, you know, we've heard the term, you either get bitter or you get better. And I don't want to be the one that gets the bitter road. We know in Matthew how Jesus literally was telling his disciples that if you do not forgive your fellow man, that, you know, God the Father will not forgive you. And that's a pretty harsh statement, but it showed the importance really of forgiveness. And forgiveness, if we do not forgive others, we literally are keeping ourselves locked up and we are sabotaging our lives, and the offenses that we carry turn to bitterness and it turns to an ugliness. You know, we see on the other side of the world where they physically do something cursing wise, you know, to attack the person. But if we carry that unforgiveness in our heart, we're literally, in a sense, subconsciously cursing our own life, and we're sabotaging all that God wants to do in and through us because we're not free personally. So part of our God questions that we do is after, you know, I would encourage you, if you haven't listened to the other podcast that was on the 30th of December, do listen to that, because that's the first stuff. I love that you kind of go through the beautiful God questions with the Lord. And then there's some more heart stuff that this is really a follow-up to those beautiful questions. And so the follow-up questions really is there unforgiveness or bitterness with anyone that needs to be resolved? And these are sometimes things that we don't even know that we're carrying. Subconsciously, we could be carrying something that we don't understand actually causes distress to us. I had a season where I'd taken care of my mom when she was literally, it was a life and death summer for her, and she would have died had she not have strong care. So I went and I took care of her for the summer, but she was not happy and she yelled at me a lot of the summer. And when I came home to take care of my three kids, they had been with me that summer, but I came home with them and I couldn't get out of bed. I was exhausted. And then it turned to huge anxiety. Every time I went into a group of people, I had huge anxiety. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. Why did my heart palpitate every time I went into public? And, you know, why couldn't I get out of bed? I just felt exhausted. So it was actually a friend that prayed for me and prayed, you know, that God would reveal the root cause of this. And so she started praying. And she literally got to, you know, if there's a root cause of a difficult mother or father or coworker, and she kind of was touching on these. But as soon as she got to the mother word, I literally started just crying. And she was like, ooh, you know, and I literally opened my eyes and I said, it's a mom issue. I don't know. I think I've forgiven my mom for everything, but it clearly there's some trigger there. And so she said, well, was your mom difficult to live with? And I said, yes, she was difficult. And she says, well, do you think you've forgiven her for being difficult? And I said, I think I have forgiven her. And so she says, well, then I want you to speak out. I forgive my mother. And so when I started to speak it out, I literally started just crying again. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I don't think I've forgiven her. And it was kind of shocking to me, honestly. And so she led me in, you know, that you've got to say, I forgive her 10 times a day out loud, vocally. And what that does is it's speaking to the enemy that you're not going to carry that unforgiveness anymore. You're speaking to the enemy about that when you're saying it out loud, but you're speaking to your soul as well. And you're not going to believe it necessarily right off the bat. You're not going to think, oh yeah, I forgive this person. But after you say it 10 times a day, numerous days in a row, and for me, it actually was a few months that I had to say that every single day, many times a day, out loud, till one day I realized I feel sorry for my mom that she had a nervous breakdown when she was younger, and when she got married, there was things that she couldn't fully handle, and all of a sudden, I had real mercy and compassion for her, and I thought, wow. I don't carry any of this. I actually just feel sorry for her and have compassion for her. And that's when I knew I actually have fully forgiven her. And so going into public with heart palpitations and huge anxiety and all that stemmed from a mother that embarrassed me a lot in public. And I had to overcompensate. I felt like I had to overcompensate to make things okay in public when I was with her. And so subconsciously, every time I walked into a group of people, my heart would palpitate and I didn't know why. And I would have huge anxiety. Like I felt like I was going to have a heart attack. And it was after I had taken care of my mom that summer that it all manifested in that way. And I think it triggered childhood trauma that occurred. And it kind of manifested after taking care of her for a summer. And she, you know, wasn't happy with me that whole summer. So it was a huge revelation. So I tell you that story because there are things that we are carrying that we don't even realize we're carrying. And if we're having anxiety, depression, all these different issues in our life, there's a core root cause to those things. And a lot of times we don't even know how to identify it. And so having this time with the Lord and literally asking the Lord, And taking that space for the Lord to speak, just like when he spoke to when we asked him the question, what do you think of me? Or give me the word for the year. He's speaking to us. And it's the same thing when we're sitting down and we're asking him, is there any unforgiveness or bitterness with anyone that needs to be resolved? Lord, please reveal this to me. Then we're in a posture to listen. And then he can start speaking to us. And I say, have a notebook in front of you and just begin to write down the names that come to mind that the Lord will probably reveal to you, or he'll bring a thought or a remembrance of something that somebody did that you had long time forgot about, but the Lord will bring that to remembrance. And then there'll be a little ping of, oh, maybe that's somebody I haven't forgiven fully. I thought I did, but I didn't. Like my mom, I had walked through so much forgiveness with my mom through the years. I honestly didn't think there was anything left that I needed to forgive her for. But clearly, I did. So that was a revelation that the Lord revealed.
Yeah, I do think that's huge because the unforgiveness, you know, obviously when you have a root of bitterness, it traps both you and the other person, that you're, both of you are trapped. Yeah. And so you have to choose to forgive multiple times. You know, the Bible says 70 times, you know, multiple times in order for those feelings to follow, or in order for the you not to harbor it or hold it even in your body, you know. I know a situation for me. I remember once being, this was many, many years ago, being guided through asking the Lord, okay, Lord, is there someone that I have unforgiveness towards that I am still kind of like trapped because of my unforgiveness towards them? I'm still like emotionally trapped in that situation. And the Lord revealed to me a young man that abused me when I was 9 years old. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to forgive him. Nope, that's not the one. Who else, God, do you want me to forgive? And kind of a little bit of this back and forth. But the Lord was reminding me of this person because I was still stuck. And so it was this whole journey for me then of being like, okay, no, I do choose to forgive this person. I'm never going to see this person again. You know, I'm not in relationship with this person, but I'm still trapped with him, and he is still trapped, I believe, because of my unforgiveness. And so by me choosing to forgive began my then healing journey from that memory and that traumatic situation. But it had to start with forgiveness.
Yeah. Wow. Very powerful. So this exercise gives the Lord the opportunity to reveal those deep heart things that we have stuffed, put away. Honestly, it's a coping mechanism. We don't want to go there. It's too painful sometimes. Or we're just not aware. For you, it was a painful scenario. For me, it was just not being aware as well of that I still carried that. So, yeah. So once the Lord reveals that, then it's like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? And for me, it was, I needed to say 10 times a day out loud, I forgive my mother. I forgive my mother. I forgive my mother. And it wasn't that I had to call her and say, I forgive you, Mom, for always embarrassing me in public. You know, I didn't have to do that. She wouldn't have understood that anyway at that point. It was for me. It needed to set me free. And when I said those words 10 times a day for numerous days, it set me free to where once I started having compassion, I knew, wow, then I have truly forgiven. But that is one of the exercises that is really critical in moving forward. The next exercise is in what areas, or the next question to ask the Lord is, in what areas of your life has the enemy been consistently pursuing you? Weaknesses, lack of self-discipline and mindfulness. Maybe there's an addiction issue. Just asking the Lord. You know, there's certain things as well in our life that we're not truly aware that it's something that's causing distress in our life. You know, what kind of weakness? For me, I'll be very honest, it's getting involved in a series on TV. So I'll be at a friend's house and they're like, oh, you got to watch the series. And so I'll watch the first or second one with them. And I am locked in. From that moment on, when I get home, yeah, I'm putting the series on my TV and I am stuck and I cannot stop. I'm a storyteller. I love telling stories, but I love knowing the end of the story. That's my weakness, is I have to know the end of the story. So even books, when I read books, I'm usually reading the end before I get to the end, just so I know I want a happy ending, or I don't waste my time, honestly. I don't need a depressing ending. So I think because of my life, I have too much difficult things in my life anyway, you know, with what we work with. But my weakness is it will sap a majority of my days, because I cannot stop watching that series until it's the end. And so if there's 6 seasons, I'm in big trouble because I binge to watch it. So for me, in what I'm doing with this kind of work especially, I have to have a lot more time with the Lord, and I have to have strategic time with the Lord on a regular basis, and I have to focus my time on things that are going to fill me in the spiritual world with the Lord. And I cannot get stuck wasting my days watching a series. Now, there's nothing wrong with people who are involved in series and who have self-control with it. But I know I do not have self-control in that area. So knowing that, if somebody's trying to get me into a series, I'm okay if it's only one season or two. Don't get me started with something that has six seasons, you know. So I'm very, very careful in that area. And so that's something that the Lord convicts me of. If I am wasting my days on things that are taking my time from what I know the Lord wants me to spend time on, that is where the Lord convicts me. And so this question, in what areas of my life has the enemy been consistently pursuing me? For me, the Lord literally had to challenge me to not get involved in series unless I could have self-control. So every now and then I test myself, but then I obsess with, I can't stop thinking about that series until I get to the next one. And so then that is also not good because it's distracting me from being able to pay attention to what the Lord's trying to show me. So it's, you know, it's something that's, it's not like doing drugs, you know, it's not like I'm not on heroin. And somebody would say, oh, you have nothing to worry about. You know, that's nothing. Well, to me and the calling that God has put on my life, it is something. And guarding my time is something that the Lord deals with me. And so that's my weakness. I've confessed it to the world. That's my weakness. And I don't have self-discipline in that realm. And so I stay away from it, or I'm careful with how I do that. And so anyway, it's something very simple, but asking the Lord for that is really key to allow the Lord to speak to us and to guide us in shoring up our life in these different things. So I'm into something that technically is not a sin, you know, in the world. But if the Lord's convicting me to not do it, to me, it is sin. If I go against what I know the Lord is prompting my heart to do, I say the Lord keeps me on a tight walk with Him so that I can keep clear headed to really hear the voice of the Lord. And so I guard that really free channel with the Lord, that I don't want to distract my mind with things that will distract me from hearing the voice of the Lord on a regular basis. And so if I'm distracted with other things that really aren't important in the scheme of what God has called me to do, then I have to be careful. Now, I love watching a good, you know, Christmas movie or, you know, movie with my grandkids. You know, I'm not saying no TV, you know, that's the big bad sin. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I've identified with what my weakness is, and I had to shore up those things. And that's something that the Lord revealed in these questions. So,
yes, yeah. That wanting you to be intentional with your time. Going back to, you know, every time I go to West Africa, I do learn so much just from the people that we serve and even the community, and this whole concept of cursing, you know, that's the way that they deal with their problems is, yeah, because they have no one's taught them about forgiveness. No one has shown them the fruit of forgiveness or how you can be free. Like all they're taught is you've been offended, you've been mad, the result is cursing. And I think even recently, like it makes me think, so Matthew 15, 18 through 19, it says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Like all of those things come from our hearts and so even when I've been hurt and have to forgive, like those thoughts have come to my mind, you know, of wanting vengeance or slander, or like it's no different than what I've learned in Africa, where I actually see people acting out on that and choosing, you know, to actually curse. And it's amazing to me to see, oh my goodness, my heart is doing the exact same thing, and it's no different. And I don't want to ultimately bring cursing onto someone. You know, I want them to be free and to have new life and to experience I mean, I've been forgiven so much, you know, and I want that same forgiveness for others.
Yes, that's beautiful. I love it.
So what you've asked us before as staff, you know, what determination, like how willing are you to have victory in these areas? Like how determined are you? How willing are you to put in the hard work of, sometimes it's very exhausting, like to make a choice. Yeah. To choose to forgive and not harbor unforgiveness, to not harbor, you know, or, you know, if the Lord is convicting you to change a pattern because it's stealing your time with him, or it's stealing your peace, or it's stealing your joy because of some habits.
Yes.
You know, the determination behind it. How would you speak into that?
Yeah, I say, you know, God's going to prompt you, convict you, whatever you want to call it, you know, but it's the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And so when our spirits are agitated, you know, by something that we're doing or something that we're holding that God's revealed to us, you know, it's really asking the Lord, you know, the question is, what determination are you willing to make to have victory in these areas? So for me, it's being careful with my time, being strategic with my time, and not doing the things that are going to sap and take away from me, in my walk with the Lord or in what I know God's wanting me to do. So, you know, even social media, we all can get caught just scrolling through Facebook, Instagram, you know, for an hour or two. And at night, that's my Bible time. And so some people do their Bible time in the morning. I do my Bible time at night. And I love doing it at night because then in the morning, that's what I wake up thinking about, which is very interesting. If I watch a movie or a TV show right before I go to sleep and I don't read the Word of God, I wake up thinking about that movie the night before. But if I read the Word of God right before I go to bed, then I'm waking up fresh, thinking about all these cool things that the Lord just showed me through that passage. And I'm like, wow, there's so much in the spiritual realm that we don't even understand. And the enemy is always trying to rob us and steal us from hearing the voice of the Lord and from distracting us from hearing the voice of the Lord, distracting us from a beautiful life, really in sync with hearing even those questions that we asked on our last podcast on the 30th, where, you know, God, what do you think of me? And, you know, with the word for the year, what does this look like? You know, for me, it was refresh. And so that whole year, I was constantly going to that refresh moment. And this year, my word for this year is battle plan. And I literally was like, what? Battle plan? I don't want to be fighting. You know, I'm not a fighter. And anything that has to do with battles, I'm like, no thanks. But the Lord literally was like, I want you to move forward with a battle plan in every area of your life. There's a strategic thing that the Lord wants to do in every area of your life. And so I was like, okay. It's being able to be clear-headed, in sync with the Lord, and to allow our minds to be free to hear from the Lord, not to be cluttered with more of the world. So I'm trying to put more of the Jesus part into my life, whether it's the Word of God, worship. You know, you guys heard on one of our podcasts that angels were ushered in through worship on one of our community meetings, that our bodyguard had a vision of all these angels. And that's a cool story in itself. He doesn't normally get visions. But yeah, worshiping more and being more strategic with the Lord and praying. I've prayed more this year than I have in my lifetime because I felt like that the Lord really challenged me that if you really believed that I would answer every prayer you pray, would you pray differently? Would you pray more? And the answer was like, well, of course I would. Absolutely. And I felt like the Lord was like challenging me, pray more. Pray more with expectancy. And then all the scriptures that he started showing me with ask, 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 ask. So that was something the Lord was like, ask, ask me. And so the Lord is just challenging me to put this battle plan together for all these different areas to keep my mind fully set on him and fully free to hear his voice clearly and keep short accounts. The bitterness thing clouds our minds. The unforgiveness thing clouds our minds. It keeps us from living to the fullest that God has for us. All of those things cloud our thoughts and our minds and keep us from living this free and full abundant with the Lord.
Yeah, I love that your word or your message this year is a battle plan. And the song you picked was, or the Lord showed you, was The Mighty Name of Jesus by Hope Darst, D-A-R-S-T. So I'll include that in the show notes because that really is a powerful song of where ultimately the battle plan is God's. And it puts Rebecca in a posture of just praying and asking God, God, you be the one that brings about what you want. You be the one that protects me. You know, you be the, so it's a wonderful song to listen to. If you feel like you're in a battle, and really the best posture is surrender and trust, surrendering to God and trusting to God. So I'll include that in the show notes to make sure you can listen to that amazing song. And again, Happy New Year. And we hope you tune in next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.